All right, guys. So there's a lot of conversation going on over the break, and that's perfect. That's what we want. There's also a concrete idea on the table, I think, that starts to get a lot of concerns. And we've tested with several of you, but not all of you. All right? So, James, can you just walk us through quickly what this proposal would be to go forward?
Sure. And for the benefit of the folks on the phone who can't see what we're reading from, so I'll try and be as specific as possible. It's a multi-step process, and we've already started tweaking some of the steps. So let me try and lay it out, and then we could kind of hit the variations. The first one is that, you know, as soon as possible, including this EPDP, we would begin redacting the registrant org field. And the thinking here is to acknowledge that it could be, not necessarily is, but could be personal data or be used to re-identify. We then notify registrants, all registrants, that on some future date, and we threw out January 1st, but obviously that's open-ended, but on some future date, registrant org will be treated as not non-personal data and will be publicized globally. And that in the intervening window, registrants need to come in and review the redacted data that we continue to maintain, if any, and confirm that they want that published, that they understand that it's going to be published. There's informed consent, basically. I'm giving you my consent now that you've informed me that this is going to be the industry standard going forward. For those registrants who consent to that, it could be essentially displayed immediately, or we could wait to the date. We could talk about that. And then the final one would be that if they say, I didn't put that in there, or I don't remember putting that in there, or I had no idea, or don't respond at all, which is also a very highly likely outcome, for those, the registrar would be allowed to essentially blank out the registrant org field so that we do publish it, but it is empty, contains no data, because the registrant has either explicitly or implicitly indicated that they are not an organization. So that's the four-step dance that we're talking about here. There's a lot of markup since I went into the restroom and came back. But I think that's the gist of it, and we're talking about timing and stuff like that.
James, did you speak to new registrants that they would be notified for the new registrants on a go forward?
New registrants, yes, would be and I think we have to leave registrars the ability to innovate here because a lot of them are different business models and different segments. But essentially, there would have to be some sort of a process where registrars would be obligated to inform registrants that this is how the registrant org field is going to be used, and to ensure that consent is captured during the registration process or during the transfer in process, so that we're capturing new ones going forward.
Right. Okay. So I think because we have already spent an enormous amount of time on this issue, I'm going to set an incredibly high bar for adapting this, right, making significant changes, because what we need to do is say, you know what, I can live with this. Right. If we can't, right, then we need to talk about that. But
I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
And maybe I'm being overly hopeful or naive here, but are we obliquely solving our natural versus legal?
Shit. No.
All right.
Okay.
We won't reach for that golden ring just yet. Okay. But I just want to set a very high bar, folks. We don't need to hear everybody's opinion about this. All we need to hear is if I can't live with it, but I could live with it with this minor change, okay? So I got Alan, I got Benedict, and I got Diane. Yeah? And Mark.
The bottom one says, okay, so step one is redact all organizations as soon as possible. Step two is you notify the registrants that org is going to be public as of a certain date. And give them, the registrants then have to confirm that the data is correct and consent to make it public. It'll be like grayed out. They'll be able to see it. If no response or no approval, then they will blank out, the registrars will blank out the org before publication. And then if there's new registrants, they will be notified that the org will be public, and they have to consent to have their org public. That's the proposal. Okay.
So it's not it's opt out rather than opt in for new registrants.
No, it's still
they still have to opt in for new registrants because they have to have the information that it will be public. So it's opt in. You have to opt in.
Okay. Alan?
Two questions to clarify to make sure I understand. Number one, is number one a registrar may redact immediately or must redact immediately? You know, can they assess their own risk?
I think that's fair. I think we want to acknowledge that it's not personal information, but it could be personally, it could be used to re-identify, and we also want to give a nod to the data minimization. So I think may or must is fine.
Yeah, we also have registrars who specialize in corporate customers.
We don't need them.
Yeah. And,
right.
And would it be acceptable to send out the opt-in, opt-out prior to the blanking out date? That is, give them notice ahead of time.
I think the important date for them is the date that everything is going to be republished if the registrar redacts. So I think that is, again, a question of timing. Yeah, whatever. Can be done via email, could be done via web, could be done with a contract in front of them for a corporate registrar.
And I also presume if you accept the registrar may, they may choose to redact but on a later date. So in other words, they can make sure they're giving their customer the option of keeping it before it disappears.
Yeah, the key here is, I think, to respect the diversity of registrar business models, all the different markets that they serve, wholesale, retail, corporate, and in all the different languages, and really kind of give them some flexibility to get this information, this informed consent, in front of their customers in a way that after that date and the go-forward date, that we can trust the information that's in registrant.org before we publish it.
With that level of flexibility, I can accept it.
Great. Okay. Who did I have? I had... Diane, Benedict, and then Mark.
Yeah.
And then I have to hear from Mark. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, we're in support of this, but we're just wanting to better understand the benefit of doing step one and step two. We tried to discuss that offline, but isn't that number one administratively difficult? Number two, what's the real legal justification for doing that at this juncture? And also, isn't that in thinking about the protections, you know, protections and availability of information to the community as it exists today? Like, what's the benefit within this small period of time to not just jump into number three? And also, I just want to lastly just say, you should also, you'll consult legal counsel on whether you need to do that form in that way. You might be doing more than you have to do, and it might have negative effects, but that you could resolve on your own.
Yeah, I think if I could respond, I think, first off, all of this stuff is subject to the blessings by various lawyers from all over the world, so we can just assume that's going to happen. I always check that box later. The question really of why do number one, why not just jump in, and we kind of had this, I think there's a number of reasons, not one slam dunk reason. I think one is because this question of whether registrant organization is personal data or not, or can be used to re-identify, is very squishy. I think the principle of data minimization of until we're sure, until we have confidence, if we believe there's a vulnerability, then, you know, act out of caution, confidence. And I think the other thing, just in practical terms, is for the folks who are out there right now as we speak, every millisecond that ticks by, that are archiving and harvesting and archiving new registrations that are going to happen during that now and that future date, those will be exposed forever if we don't, you know, essentially close that window whenever we can, whenever we're legally allowed to close that window. So that, to Alan's point, may not be the choice of all registrars, given that their markets and your mileage may vary, I think is what we usually say. But for a retail registrar that's serving, you know, millions of customers all over the globe, we want to maximize protection for them and get their data, only expose their data if they know why and where it's being published.
Thanks so much, Jim. Benedict?
Hi, James. Awesome proposal.
Great. Nothing more to say.
That's it.
That's great. Seriously.
No, not
seriously.
Quite. Yeah. Couple of things. No, really
okay.
Not. This is important. Okay. So 1, 2, 3 is one thing. 4 is a different thing. 1, 2, 3 is existing. and historic, 4 is about new registrations going forward. The key thing is that we try to solve our legal natural problem in 4. Forget what's gone before, but 4 should be about taking a declaration. And I'm really fine for that to be opt-in, if that makes everybody happier. So I'm really happy for the default, for it to be a checkbox. The default is you're a natural person. If it's checked, you're a legal person. Click here to see what we mean by that. Okay? But there's no sense, we're so close to a solution for legal natural with point 4 that there's no sense in trying to swerve it at this point. So, and if we're talking informed consent, this is really, really the informed consent bit. So my proposal would be to say, would be to not solution there in point 4, but to say new registrants, registrars would be obliged to form registrants, that they would be treated as natural persons unless they opt in to as legal persons. And this may mean that their registrant org field would publish. That's the result of their decision. We're not solutioning for a particular topic. That's my proposal.
Okay.
A minor point on 2. I don't think we're talking about consent, and that's a warning for I think that's a warning for everyone. I think consent is a different regime, and that puts you in all sorts of positions of having to manage opt-outs, because consent implies opt-out. So Just for all of us, neutrally, I'd say probably avoid informed consent, but maybe that's one for Ruth to inquire on.
What's the word to use then?
You're assuming I put my contact lenses in this morning. I think the word Ruth has been using has been
agree.
Not quite. What was it?
Okay, we can anyway, go back to it. We'll
thanks.
Come back to it. Okay, so just a quick thing on. Yeah, no, hang on 1 second. I would love. On the natural and legal, I think that's a really exciting idea to be able to fix that problem through this. However, I don't want to reach for that ring right now. I would like to put some closure around this and then see if we can plug and play a natural legal conversation into the back of this, okay? But hang on 1 second. Alan, please, what you got?
Mark, actually.
Mark, yeah.
Okay, yeah, so
yeah. And Milton, yeah.
I'm disappointing. I'm unidentifiable. Okay. Mark Swanzerich. I like this proposal. I support it. I just wanted to make I think that it brings us, you know, one step closer to solving the legal natural thing. I don't think it inherently solves it. I just think it's an aspect of solving it. I just wanted to make a clarifying point. I've heard some concern that with the immediate redaction that people who don't want their data redacted, people, you know, like Microsoft Corporation who would like to keep published, I feel like that's an orthogonal problem. So if you've already agreed that your information will be published, then this redaction would not necessarily apply to you. So I think that's a completely separate topic, and it shouldn't stop anyone from adopting this proposal.
Great. Okay. Milton? And then let's see what we can do. And, James, you can close us off. And okay, Milton first, and then...
So we sort of like this, but I don't think we can live with it unless in step 1, it's not may redact, but the registrar must redact. And that's because I think it should be pretty obvious. Registrars are going to make that decision based on their own risk and not based on the risk to the registrants, particularly if they're consumers. Now, I know that would make it apply to many registrars who have primarily corporate customers. I think that's a minor issue. It would be quickly corrected once they were notified. But for the tens of millions of consumer registrants, I think unless you make it a uniform policy that this is what all registrars are going to do, this is not an appropriate solution to the problem. There would be all kinds of holes in it.
Can I suggest something here? Because this may be just a confusion on timing. What if the language was, you must redact, right? And, hang on, and there's this date where it definitely is going to get redacted unless all these things happen. And the may is about whether you do it, like, ASAP right now. You see what I'm trying to say? Because there's a date in here in which this thing gets blanked out unless you had this affirmative action from the registrant, right? That's part of it baked in. That's a must, right? It's a blank. It's not a redaction at that point. So you see what I'm saying, Milton? There is a must built into this. It's just a question of when, right? And what James is asking for is, let me do this now. If I see myself as having some risk, everyone's going to have to do it by this date that we set, January 1st, whatever it is. You see what I'm saying? So I don't want anyone to get confused with the May that somehow you're skinny out for the long term. No, this is just May, do it right away, like tomorrow, whenever this happens. And everybody on this date is going to have this new regime, which required for a legacy stuff to have affirmatively said yes. You see what I'm saying, Milton?
Sort of, but the step that you're talking about where it must be redacted is not in that list. So put it in, and I'll be happy.
Okay, so the date, where's the date? It's
notify registrants that org will be public by X date. I mean, I just put X date because I think the date, we can put January 1 in there again.
No, it says everything else is, the key is, excuse me, guys, on that date, there is no organization information unless you had an affirmative response.
If no response or no approval,
it's blank.
It's blanked out before or at the publication date. It will be blanked out at the publication date.
You see that? So
blanked out is not redacted. It disappears.
Yeah, it's gone.
Erased.
So in step two, you should be saying then all registrars are notifying all registrants that org will be redacted, not public, will be redacted by X date unless...
Or blanked out or redacted, whatever, It'll be gone.
Unless they tell them otherwise. That would satisfy me. Thank you.
Yeah, great, thanks. So we cleared up that problem. Super. Okay. Given that, James, is there anything else to say? Alan, can you? I really want to just bring us home on this. James?
Yeah, so I was just going to channel you, which is this is one of those things that we could spend 5 hours on it and make it much, 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 much iteratively worse and more complicated and less effective because that's just our culture at ICANN. Can we just maybe take this away and say pretty close, not a win maybe, but pretty close to a win, and then maybe come socialize it with our stakeholder groups? And
yes. And Milton's clarification was really important, so because if there was a misunderstanding, we had to clear that. That was very important to do. But I think if we all get the gist of what this is about, we understand what's happening. We understand that there has to be an affirmative, I want this to be there, and if it's no affirmative for the legacy stuff, it's gone on a certain date. Okay, and then on go forward, you have an affirmative, I understand this is going to be made public, etc. Okay, under these conditions. All right.
So, Trang,
I just have a question and a request, that's all.
Okay, but on that, are we able to walk forward? Is our solution here for org with this? Everybody able to walk forward with this? As a good response to all the concern, public comment, et cetera?
I want to remind, we're going to go to city and email, and then people want to revisit the whole package. Just, I want to have that out
there. Yeah.
Can you please use your mic?
Hi, Jimmy, for the record. Where does it say that it's going to be public again by that date or by...
Well, the org will be redacted by X date or, the date that it will be public if people have opted in. Okay?
It'll be redacted by one date and erased by another date if you don't take action.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a good way to put it. Okay. Okay, so can we move on to city? Okay, Trang.
Sorry, I have a question and clarification on what Alan said. If it could be clear when the text is written up, what is, I'm not sure I understand what blanked out means. So if that actually means like the field will actually be deleted, then let's say deleted something.
Yes.
So that's a kind of a question and request. And then also just kind of make sure to think through that some of the organizations may be using the organization field to identify themselves and then just putting, something in the registrant name field as a placeholder type of thing. And so if you automatically delete the org field, what may be the impact? So.
Okay. So I think we should, this is a go forward, and now we should move to city. Caboose, can we move on to city? Okay.
I don't understand what is on the board. What is this one?
Oh, that's the same thing as what's written on the flip chart. The language may be slightly different, but we'll reconcile that. It's what we've been discussing as far as the response to the org field that we have written up here.
No, if you want to do that, you have to be quite clear. So there is no meaning as soon as possible. And there is no meaning this EPDP. What do you mean by this? You should have as of the date and put the date in number one. Number two, there is some sort of contradiction between number one and number two. Number one saying that as soon as possible will be redacted. Number two saying that they will be notified that will not be redacted. They will be published. So it seems to be a little bit of confusion. And then again, say first January of this which year. So there is a lot of things to be done. And then what is the vehicle to implement that? Whom they are addressed? Who will do that? How will be done that? It's a sort of the resolution by the board. What is it? We are not decision maker on this. We're just recommending something. So there is a lot of administrative things to be done with respect to these 5 points. Thank you. I agree with them.
Thanks, Caboose. Thank you for pointing out those needs for clarification. And I think part of the idea of socializing it and getting more detailed is to really figure out and reconcile those pieces. But for right now, we have a straw proposal to move forward with, and we'll need to come back to those specifics. So thanks for pointing those out. Okay, so we need to go to city. I've had someone request that we really try to have one spokesperson per group. I know it's super hard. I just said I would put it out there. I know it's difficult to do, but wherever possible, if you could identify one spokesperson per group, that would be great. I just want to point out that it's 11:30, I think. And what time is lunch? Lunch is at 12:30. So just giving you all a time check. Our goal is to get through these recommendations to the greatest extent, at least 8, 9, and 10 before lunch, okay? So email, can somebody, city. I looked at email and it popped out of me. Can somebody frame up the public concern around city? Can somebody do that for us? What is the issue and how might we move forward? Don't all jump at once.
Do we need to do anything else on city that we haven't already done in the recommendations?
So city was one of the public comments tied into recommendations 8 and 9, and we need to agree on how to be responsive to that public comment and if there's any recommendations out of the team on city. Thanks, Margie.
I'm sure I'll take it up. So the question is whether city field is considered personally identified information, and we believe that it isn't. So that's why we think it should be published, especially because it's an important factor in deciding whether you have venue for a lawsuit, as an example, of jurisdictional issues. We don't see the justification for having it be redacted, and so that's the one area that we think would make it a little more easier to be able to determine whether you have a claim against someone, if they're, you know, and where to bring the lawsuit. So that's the reason why we think that a city field shouldn't be redacted, because it's not personally identifiable information. Thank you,
Margie. So a proposal's on the table to not redact city, and I've got Alan and James in the thread. And then, Trang, are you in? Okay.
Thank you. I don't have a very strong position, but I have concerns about this one. If we're talking about Los Angeles, New York, Cairo, not a problem at all. And I understand in places like California, you may have different jurisdictions within the state, so the state does not delineate it enough. Most places, state will tell you the jurisdiction. It may not tell you which court to file in, but there are many, many, many places where, in small towns, where the city does effectively identify you. And so I have some concerns about using city, unless we could delineate big cities versus small cities, and I'm not sure that puts a reasonable load on registrars.
Okay, I'm going to go. Thanks, Alan. Go ahead, James.
Yeah, surprisingly, I don't think that this is something that we have a whole lot of hard feelings about either. I mean, we've heard a number of reasons why postal code can sometimes narrow things down to one building or you know, one block. And so I think we had some significant, the privacy experts had some concerns and heartburn about postal code, but city, no.
Alan Wood.
Alan Wood for the record. I think this goes to one of Thomas's points where, you know, we have to look at this as a whole at the end and see if the city would make a difference, but on its own right, I don't see how it could make a huge issue.
Back to you, Alan G. Given that what you've heard, does that change for you anything?
Increases my level of comfort significantly.
Back to Margie, when to get back. Now I'll come to you, Milton.
Sure, and I was just commenting on that. Because if it's a natural person, you're not seeing the name, right? You're not seeing the address. You're just seeing the city. And so how does that link? What's the cross-reference,
I guess is my question. The name or the purpose of the website in a small city may well delineate. I said it's a level of discomfort. It's not something I said I couldn't live with. I was just raising a level of discomfort. And if the registrars are comfortable, to be honest,
okay with
I'm
it.
Happy.
Thanks for reminding us of that. Milton.
Yeah, we're not in favor of publishing the city. It's just you cannot look at these things in isolation and say, oh, this particular field does not individually identify a person. We all know that modern information technology allows you to cross-reference millions of fields within seconds, and that people can narrow it down very quickly and very easily with, you know, two items of information. If indeed you're talking about a lawsuit, it seems to me that you're going to get not just the city, but the name and everything else if you are filing a lawsuit or a UDRP even. So we're talking about what needs to be published, not what can be accessed at some point or another. And I just don't see anything other than, we know there's a caucus or a faction that wants the old who is back, and as much data in there as possible. And the more fields that there are in there, better job. Why are you interrupting me?
Go ahead. Excuse me.
I'm speaking for – but the point is there's – we're going to have this debate about every data element. There's even people who have advocated that the email not be redacted. Now, even though we know that's illegal under GDPR, it's obvious that you can die a death by a thousand cuts here. We will resist adding any data element. We don't even think that province needs to be in there in the generally published data. So we're against city.
Back to you, Margie.
Sure. The other thing that I forgot to mention was that with the city, that helps you determine what law actually applies. Like, you look at the precedent from that court system to know whether you have a claim at all. So you may not even get to the point of asking for a full who is record just by being able to know, okay, well, if I want to bring the case in that court, I'm not going to win, or, you know. And so it's actually an important factor in determining what rights you have.
Could I just ask you a question about that? What cities do you know of that have different trademark laws?
Not necessarily an issue. There could be other issues. We're not focusing just on trademarks. This could be a civil claim. And in the precedent in the California courts, for example, in Los Angeles, you'll have a very different answer on some issues than you will in San Francisco. And that's what we're talking about here. Thank you.
Thanks for that clarification to you both. Mark? And then I think we'll check in.
I request that Milton not call people factions or assign certain just whatever, you know, pass opinions or pass judgment on us as a group.
So, and I think on a broader issue there, folks, one of the good practices we can all do is really speak to what's important and what you understand to be the concerns of others, but not put words in others' mouths. Okay, so where are we, Gina?
I think where we're at is, unless I'm not mistaken, we're divided in the sense that non-commercial stakeholders do not see a justification for having city be disclosed. They would propose that city be redacted, but I have the sense that the others in the room are comfortable with that being disclosed. So,
can we test that just for a second? Is there anybody else besides the folks in here in non-commercial that are concerned with making public city, disclosing city? Are there others that have concerns about that? Let's just be a good time to express those. Alan's expressed sort of a low-level concern, but he's good.
He's okay.
I've withdrawn my concern.
Okay. So one pathway forward is we say, let's just walk forward and make a note in the text that non-commercial believes that city should be redacted. That is one quick way to move forward. I'm not sure what the other pathway is unless you all want to suggest another pathway besides that.
Trade you the city for the state.
What is... You mean redact the state and publish the city? I'm sorry. They said I said it wrong. You're proposing to – could you just state it, Milton? I'm sorry.
We would withdraw our opposition to redaction of the state – excuse me, to redaction of the city if they allow redaction of the state.
Do you all need a minute to chat? Okay.
Is that not a serious proposition, and why is it so insulting for me to call you a faction, which you are, and you to dismiss
right.
that as a non-serious
faction? Folks, hang on a second. Guys,
No.
Think about what's happening.
Yeah.
Think about how many things we've been moving over to the other side, right? Think about how constructively we've been working together. Let's not take the bait to go down this kind of path. Okay. Let's not do it. If we want to state, you know, I think it's fair to say that proposal doesn't work for me. You have to say that in a respectful way. And now we have to say this is as far as we got on this issue. I think if there's one group that doesn't believe it and other groups are feeling fine, we should probably move on and then we'll check at the end and see if there's been any change. Gina, that would be a great... Hang on.
Yeah.
No, I apologize for speaking up, but that was not the approach that we used yesterday. When there were concerns that were raised, we had 90% agreement, and there were concerns by two individuals in the room, and we spent, two extra hours wordsmithing to get to a level of satisfaction with the text.
With full consensus. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now we're simply looking to brush our concerns aside and to move on.
Yeah, I certainly don't want anyone to feel that we're brushing concerns aside. I'm trying to figure out if there's a pathway to addressing those concerns, right? And I don't know if we want to try on the fly to find that pathway or if we want to set aside right now and say we can come back and maybe we can have a quick conversation and see what are some options that might address those concerns.
Well, I proposed a specific option, and it was laughed at, okay? Now, what does that tell you about the issue we have here? Why should we make any concessions when they are not willing to make any?
Okay, folks.
So why don't we do this, just briefly. Could someone who does not support the idea of redacting state and publishing city, could you explain why that doesn't feel feasible so that the non-commercial – I said it wrong again.
No, that's right.
No, you said that to redact state and publish city. That was the proposal we understood from you.
I'm sorry. You didn't understand it. So it was that we would withdraw our opposition to redacting state if they would agree to redact city.
You would withdraw? Oh, thank you. That's an important clarification.
Oh, I misunderstood what you said.
Okay, so the proposal from non-commercial is they would withdraw the opposition to redacting state. Thank you, Milton. In return for redacting city. So that's why I said, do you need to talk for a couple minutes?
I'm lost. I'm sorry, I'm lost. Can you?
So you would be able to publish state, and non-commercial stakeholders would not oppose publishing state. Yeah. But no city.
Milton, can you say it just one more time? I think.
Publish state, not city.
I think that's a complicated thing. We are opposing publication of two data fields, state and city, right? we would say that if they, the people who want to publish both of them, are willing to compromise and are willing to not publish the city, we would be okay with publishing the state. We are certainly not going to support publishing both.
All right.
Okay, does everybody understand the proposal? And do folks need a few minutes to talk in their group about it? No. Okay, so I've got Mark and James and Georgios. I know, we're trying to have one spokesperson per group, so maybe the two of you can chat for a second. Yes.
In the United States, at least, every state has at least one Springfield. Most states have at least one Shelbyville. So having city without state is not a practical solution.
That's not what he's proposing. He's proposing that you have the state, you publish state and not city. Publish state and not city. James.
So question, where'd Trang go?
Trang?
Oh. Isn't that what we're doing now under the temp spec?
Yes.
So that's what we're doing now.
What is that?
We are publishing the state. We are redacting the city. This is what we're doing now.
State, province.
Okay. State or province, right.
And that is the proposal.
And in some cases, like I'm thinking in like Bremen and Hamburg and stuff like that, that there are some situations where the state is, or the city is the state or something. But going down those rabbit holes, I just want to make sure I understand. Because I think we're probably okay with this proposal to publish the state province and not the city, because we didn't have heartburn about the city. But if this gets us there, okay.
Okay. Georgios, thanks for waiting.
Just I want to ask Milton, there was, if I understand well, there is a different level of privacy threats in the city and the state. This is what you are saying. And you are happy to leave the privacy threat of the city, if I can see what you are suggesting here, regarding the possible danger of what exactly? I'm trying to figure out in the proposal that we are making. Do you recognize that there is a possibility of threat there at the level of the city, which is not addressed there? And if not, can you make, why do you put the red line between those two fields there? Why you are ready to accept the one and not accept the other? Just I'm trying to understand the
Thanks, the
justification behind your proposal, not as a compromise, as a compromise for
Okay, so the I think most questions of jurisdiction are resolved. If you have nation and province, I think you've got about 95% of any jurisdictional variation that you could think of. On the other hand, if you go down to city, and then with cross-referencing information and various kinds of tools, you are getting very close to identification of particular individuals or organizations. And the net gain of that in terms of do you really need to publish this, it's not clear to me that what the net gain is. Again, assuming that people who have serious legitimate interest in disclosure will be getting all of the record. It's not like it's the information is gone. It's just not published for anybody and everybody to harvest and resell.
Okay, so we're going to take a one-minute break. And we want you to talk to your group. I see you, Cavus. Could you talk to Georgios just for a minute, and I'll start with you when we come out?
Different issue, please. Give me the floor. A different issue. Not the same subject, but different as he said, yeah.
Okay, I'm just going to take Cavus, and then prepare yourselves. We're going to do a 1 minute within your group, and the question will be, what does your group think about this proposal? Could you live with it? If not, what would you suggest? Okay, we'll do a round to hear where we're at, and then we're going to figure out how to go forward. Cavus.
Yes, I think that the reduction or otherwise of a field should be discussed and debated on its merit. it is not the trade between different fields saying that if you accept that, I accept this. This is not correct. We are not trading. That you accept this one, I accept that one. I withdraw this, provided that you agree with this one. I don't think that that is the case. Case should be discussed based on the merit and the necessity. We are not trading here. Thank you.
Okay, 1 minute. Thank you, Caboose. 1 minute in your group to talk about this proposal, and then please identify a spokesperson for your group. Please identify a spokesperson for your group. Can you live with this proposal, or is there anyone who can't in your group? Is there any group who can't?
I'd be the spokesman, and we can live with this proposal.
Can we get everybody back together? Okay, folks, so everybody took a break to see where they were at on the proposal that came out that I just want to clarify, as I understand it, that previously the group has talked about publishing state, but in the non-commercial stakeholder comments on the initial report, they registered their opposition to publishing state. That's correct, right, Milton? And so the idea was that they would withdraw the opposition. Non-commercial stakeholder group would withdraw the opposition to state if city would be redacted. So we heard from the registrars. They're open on this. I've got Diane down here to respond. If we are unable to agree, then what I've talked to Kurt, what we're going to do is set this aside and go on to email, and we agreed early this morning we would revisit the whole package. So we will set this aside if you cannot agree and come back to the go on to email and then come back to the package. So, Diane, where is this end of the table on the proposal?
This end of the table, including IPC. Oh, pardon me. This end of the table, including ALAC, BC, IPC, we don't agree to this. We don't think this was ever on the table as a proposal. This item is not in there for litigation purposes. As Margie said, this information is needed, and there's no legally justifiable reason otherwise to agree to it.
I got to call my son.
Okay, I'll deal with it. Okay. All right, so you see no pathway forward with this, folks? No? No pathway forward. Okay. Alan, for you guys over here in ALAC?
I'm sorry. I thought we worked by consensus, not necessarily unanimity.
Yes. Yeah, we're
so,
just testing. Like, yes,
all right, so I think we have a pathway forward, but maybe I'm misunderstanding.
Which? This one or what we were talking about before, to redact?
I've lost track. I cede.
This map for the record. Sorry, so just to be clear, this is not the status quo. What we have right now in the temp spec is simply to publish state and province. What they want to do and what set Milton off was to add city. So this is not the status. The status quo would be what we've got up there, what Milton was proposing. So we are not left with the status quo.
Right. So, but to be very clear, you all are saying the temp spec status quo is something you don't want to agree to as a result from this deliberation. Okay.
Can I ask Trang a question?
Sure.
Trang, the temp spec was pretty much a product of ICANN. Why did you decide to redact city in the temp spec?
I'm not sure that I can answer that question on the spot. Milton would need to confer with some of the other ICANN org folks that contributed to the drafting of the temp spec. But happy to take that question and then come back to the group with a response.
Okay, great. Just hang on 1 second, Stephanie. I'm going to go down to this other group here. Are you all, Benedict, were you going to speak for you and Ben?
Yeah. We're generally good with the status quo. I was going to make
being this
yeah,
as the status quo.
The status
good
quo.
With this.
The status quo.
I'll make one observation that law enforcement in the U.S. prosecutes based on district, and there are in some states there are multiple districts per state. But this will be difficult. This will add complications for them.
But you're okay with it.
But I think there are I think there are ways to manage this, as Milton has described.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great. And folks from the GAC, how do we feel about this proposal, which, to be clear, is what is in the temporary spec right now, right? So this would be a continuation of – it's essentially continuing the temporary spec. How do we feel about continuing the temporary spec with publishing state or province and not and redacting the city? Caboose? Yeah.
I have no problem to continue discussion. I have no problem to act on any issue, but I don't want to make an exchange between the two. You agree with this, I agree with that. It should be discussed separately on their merits.
Great.
Thank you.
Thanks, Caboose. And just to be clear, from the GAC's perspective, looking at the merits of what's in the temp spec, which is this, what's right on the board there, which you publish the state, province, whatever level that is, and you redact the city, how does the GAC feel about the continuation of the temp spec?
I lie to you. Yeah. Yes, the GAC made comments, and we were against the reduction of the city. We gave the rationale, and it was discussed thoroughly before. We don't want to repeat the discussion.
Okay, so we're going to need to just note where we are, folks, which is the continuation of the temp spec, which is this what you have on the board. If we go forward with that, we would not have a full consensus, and we would probably have two stakeholder groups, the GAC and over here the commercial folks, would make some other opinion that they think it would be appropriate to publish the city. If we go forward with what we talked about earlier, where you publish the state and the city, we would have the non-commercial folks making a minority opinion saying we don't agree with the publishing of the city. Okay, that's where we are right now. And I just want to say let's put a pause button on it to say we don't have a consensus pathway forward, full consensus pathway. We have two options that drop various people off depending on which option you take. Okay? All right.
A point of order.
Yeah.
I'd like to register my dissatisfaction with how we've handled this. We had a proposal on the table. We should have addressed that proposal and closed it out instead of halfway through switching to a different one. Thank you. Noted.
Okay. Thanks for that. I will say, and again, speaking in the microphone here, that my understanding, and you all can correct me if my understanding is wrong, is that when we were speaking about having the city be published, right, we had a willingness to do that from everyone around the table except for one group, in this case was non-commercial. When we did an alternative proposal, which is to keep the temp spec in place on this, and to redact the city, publish the state, then we had a willingness to walk forward except for the commercial parties in the GAC. Right? And ALAC. So that's what I didn't understand from your position, Alan, on this. So my understanding is we had 2 to 3 stakeholder groups are not okay with the continuation of the temp spec, what's on the board. So we're just leaving it like that right now because we're not going to put more time into it right now. We're going to see if there's a way to package this and put this and have it make sense. But we're noting it right now that that's where it was when we tested these two alternatives. Okay? All right. Okay, so in that sense, we should continue to wrap up what we have or what we can have wrap up from 8 and 9, right, which email, right, we have an email issue which could bleed into recommendation 10, and I wonder if someone could frame up the email issue and we can make a quick decision whether we read the public comment on recommendation 10 before we attack the email issue. Okay? All right. So in terms of email, what do we have that we have to address from the public comment from recommendation 8 around email. What do we have to address here? James?
So having... Yeah, I know, I told you. Maple donuts. So my understanding is that the public comments had a number of individuals and groups pointing out how the utility and the value of email as a means of identification and contact, while the other comments pointed out that if ever there were a field that we would indicate as a slam dunk for definition for personal information and really not collateral damage from GDPR, but the point of GDPR, it was email. So I think we're straying into another binary ditch, but I think it's our position, I think, from the registrars that email is really very solidly on the side of the redact line.
Okay, great. So what James is saying is, wow, this seems like you are in a really weird zone if you're trying to suggest the email should be made public, okay? So, and sorry to paraphrase.
No, I'm acknowledging the value of having it.
Right.
But also pointing out that it's not really in a gray zone in our community.
It's a pretty slam dunk zone for you. Okay. So for those quickly, and before I jump to Milton, because I have a feeling you're going to echo what James said, correct me if I'm wrong, that, but for anybody here who would want to make the case for publishing email for the reasons that were set out in the public comment, now's the moment, right? And we're going to see if there's any there, and then we're going to move on, all right? So if anybody here wants to make the case around publishing email, this is the moment to do it. Alex?
I'll give it a shot. In the comments we made several points. One is that we felt that the registrant can always be sufficiently informed that publication of the email is required and necessary. And you could also tell the registrant that they have the ability to use an email address that doesn't identify them. There's several free email services that they could use in this case for the registration of a domain name. We think that the masking of the email addresses unduly, restricts the protection of consumers, enforcement of IP and commercial rights, and prevents parties from settling disputes amicably related to online infringements. We appreciate the risk associated with receiving unsolicited emails, but we think on balance they can't outweigh the accountability and transparency that that comes with owning a domain name providing that email address allows.
Thanks, Alex. So I'm going to bounce right back to you, Alex, to say you heard what James said, that this, from their perspective and others you've seen in the public comment, is a slam dunk of GDPR in terms of privacy and personal data. And so the bar needs to be extremely high. Can you think of any ways, and maybe this strays us into recommendation 10, I don't know, but can you think of any ways of addressing what those folks feel as a pretty solid situation that they're facing?
Not until I have a chance to talk to my colleagues.
Okay.
I think I'd like to take a break. And
take a break before you do it? Okay, great. Okay. In that break, why don't we do this, folks? Why don't we jump into reading recommendation 10, which has at least tangentially involved with the same issue. And while Alex is conferring with colleagues, let's all take 10 minutes. Five? Okay. We'll take 5 minutes and read recommendation 10 in the public comment on it. Okay. Alan, you want to make a comment before we take those?
I do. Individuals' emails, as James said, as Milton said, there's no way it's going to fly. Yes, there are other ways you can find an email address which is not personally identifiable. The issue of spam to redirect ones, there are other methods of solving that. I think we need to focus on not let us show everyone's email, because we're not going to do it. It's not going to happen. But are there other ways of addressing the people's concerns with
the web forms and the anonymized email. I mean, the general form comment is it goes into a black hole. You know, if I'm knowledgeable, I can't do a trace route from one point to the end because it hits a brick wall at some point that I can't see what's going on. I don't know if it was delivered. I have no acknowledgement. Can we try to address, and we're not going to solve it today, but going forward, can we try to address the problems with the current email alternatives instead of just saying, hitting our head against a brick wall and saying we want email?
I love it. Okay. That's a great set of, like, things to think about while we move into this moment. So let's think about that. Let's read through the comments on recommendation 10. Let's take 5 minutes, consult, and then come back as a group, and let's see if we can find a pathway and think about Alan's pathways for addressing these concerns.
So I just have some clarifications here. So email redaction, investigation, and contact came up as a topic under recommendation 8 and 9. 8 is redaction, 9 is org field. So maybe it came under 8, excuse me. And then, but what we're observing is that recommendation 10 is on email communication. So it might be helpful to look at the public comments on recommendation 10, email communication, because they're probably overlap. Okay. So we're at 5 minutes. Are people ready? Okay, can we come back together, everybody? It looks like Ben wants to be in the queue.
Nice. Okay. All right, guys, let's bring it in. Do you guys need more time? Do you guys need more time to make this? Talk? Yeah? So there's a request for a little more time to talk. Sorry to bring you all guys in like that. Can we just put another... Terry, can I get another 2 minutes on the timer? Thanks.
the publication of a real email address may or may not outweigh the security implications, the balance that has to happen under 6.1F. I wanted to, and as a furtherance to Alan's point, it's not just the risk of spam that would happen if you publish the real email address. From a security standpoint, you're publishing a piece of data that is more and more the credential that you log in with to numerous systems. If you publish somebody's Gmail address, you have created a security attack vector so that bad actors can then go access, do a dictionary attack, get access to their email, and cause all kinds of problems. So just as part of this balancing test, it needs to be noted that this isn't just a spam problem, which could, to some degree, be mitigated by effective filtering and so forth. The second thing is a proposal to address some of the concerns in the public comments as to the perceived ineffectiveness of a web form as the email functionality. Several people commented that with a web form there is a lack of trust. Alan commented that there's a lack or a reduction in the amount of traceability that you can do at a network level to ensure that the email was delivered to the end user. Totally accurate. As a proposal for a possible way forward, if it's required for the registrars or registries, the contracted party that's making this web form available, if it's required that they maintain logs in very much the same way that they're required to maintain logs for how they handle abuse complaints and so forth, and if a party, Alex's constituents or whoever, has reason to believe that the registrar isn't doing what they're supposed to do and delivering that message to the end user, they can contact compliance. The registrar then has a short timer to produce the logs to show that there's already mechanisms to ensure that this is happening.
Okay.
It's not as immediate as a trace route or something like that, but there's already mechanisms in place that we can raise the level of confidence with web forms.
That's
and
right.
Still keep the privacy implications that clearly need to happen under GDPR.
Thanks so much, Ben. That's really helpful. Okay, so a specific proposal about having the opportunity to use logs and be able to request logs to ensure delivery. Milton, then Matt. Is that right? Oh, and Milton, then Matt, yeah.
Well, I'm not sure why we are spending a lot of time on whether the email address should be redacted. It's a question of how do you redact it while maintaining some kind of communication. Is that correct? Okay. So we are not debating whether email address should be redacted because that would be a complete waste of time. It is clearly way outside the balance, and we know that you are creating security and stability threats, and it's interesting to me that some people don't seem to be as concerned about that as they do with access to the email address. So what I'm concerned about when I hear talk of these mechanisms, the elaborate mechanisms to is that the temp spec has already pretty much solved this problem, has it not? Have we not had a system in place now in which we are shielding the email address? And what exactly has the problem? What problem has been identified with that? What is not happening that needs to happen?
That's a great question. Matt, do you mind if I jump back to Alex on that?
Yeah. Just for the avoidance of doubt, despite the comments from the IPC and a few others, I can only speak for the IPC. I'm not arguing for fully unredacted email addresses. Let's just make that clear. As I mentioned, there are some concerns with the mechanisms described in the temp spec, and I'd like to discuss those. And also, just for the avoidance of doubt, I fully understand that no response to an email sent means that no email has been sent. And I also understand that there is no obligations for anyone to respond to an email. I get it. I lived through the PPSAI discussion. So I understand how that works. But when an email is used, let's just jump into, when an email is used, an email address, and you send an email, if a hard failure occurs, there is an indication back to the sender. And that is what we lose in a web form, and it's an important piece of information.
Great. So you're trying to solve for how do we know about hard failures. Okay, and just quick, Alex, when you heard Ben's suggestion about being able to request logs, how does that sit with you?
Well, it's complicated, and it requires compliance, interactions, which is always a challenge. I guess I'd need to think about it some more. I mean, I think it is one option.
Okay, thanks. Matt.
Thanks. Yeah, this is Matt. So good points, Alex. Just a couple of things. So I think Ben's idea is a good one, but I also want to throw out, in the spirit of trying to move us forward, maybe another proposal that we could think about, because we agree that the challenges that Alex highlighted are legitimate. But I think what we'd be comfortable with is sticking what we have in the temp spec, and maybe we can include some of that language that Ben proposed in terms of logs and things like that, but then include a recommendation that kicks this to the GNSO to form an actual another working group that looks at the methods by which the underlying registrar can be contacted. Because we agree that the web form and the anonymized email, you know, potentially are not the best means to do that, but we also don't think that this group in the time frame that we have can come up with a better solution. So that would be our proposal.
Love it. Okay, so in the spirit of that, let's just think for 20 seconds. So what we've named is we're trying to solve this problem of contactability and lack of hard returns. There's some ideas about logs, and then there's a specific idea that you all make a mention where you name the problem and you ask the GNSO to go try to find some fixes to it. Yeah? So we would need to write a recommendation about that. Okay. Could anyone not live with essentially what Matt has proposed, where you all make a recommendation to the GNSO to explore this problem of how folks who want to contact are having this impediment, and there should be some pathway forward, but you all don't have the time or the bandwidth to come up with some solutions now? Yeah, it's keeping the temp spec. Yeah. It's keep the temp spec as it is, and you're adding a recommendation that names a problem and says, GNSO, please go forth and see if you can find some solutions, and we recognize it. Alan, can you live with that?
I wanted to point out that there were also comments. We made one of them, but we're not the only one, to say there should be an option that a registrant can specify that their real email address be shown.
That's always. Yeah.
Pardon me? Always, but it's not nothing right, that's specified right now. So you're saying you'd be amenable to it.
Please, James, could you clarify that, and then I'll jump over here.
I'm not sure whether the temp spec has it or something now, but we have said, I think we've maintained that our position is there should always be an opt-in. We do have a segment of our customer base that uses Whois for marketing and advertising purposes and wants to be contacted through that means. So
That's the advertisement to go to GoDaddy. The question is, should we have it in a rule?
I think we said that opt-in or consent-based, if someone actually tells us, demands that we publish their data, we'll get it in there.
Didn't think it was in the temp spec. If it is, dandy.
Matt thinks it's in the temp spec. So the proposal is to continue, keep the temp spec, see how you might be able to add in some language around logs, and then recommend to the GNSO to look at how to contact registrants to try to unpack that problem more fully in the future.
Okay.
Okay.
So
Georgios has been waiting for a while.
So we'll do Georgios. We've got Margie, and I know Benedict wants to weigh in right on that issue of whether it's in the temp spec or not. Georgios, please
go ahead. Quickly, I wanted to ask, because the option of having anonymized email was quickly disregarded, and I didn't hear the reason for that. We have already.
No, it's in the temp spec, and it would go forward.
It's an option still. Okay.
Yes.
Sorry, I misunderstood.
Yeah. No, that's good. Thanks, Margie. Just real quick, and then we'll.
Oh, Benedict. Sorry.
Hey, the redaction is a must at the moment. Unless I'm trying to, it's not. Email doesn't seem to be listed in either field. Shut up and look at it.
Yeah, yeah. Let's look at that over lunch real quick, and then we'll see. But our understanding is what Alan is asking for is permitted under the temp spec, and we can clear that up if that's not the case.
No, I've got it. Sorry, if I may. The email is it specifies specifically: registrar must not identify the contact email address or the contact itself. But at the moment, there's no provision in the temp spec for opt-in, but not in there.
Okay, can we double check? Because I feel like there's a little bit of misunderstanding among like what's actually happening and what the temp spec says. So can we just put a pause button on that so we have some time to.
What Benedict said is actually what's written in our in the current recommendation.
Right.
What Benedict said, that they must not publish the original address.
Right. So,
Before
I go to Margie, just real quick, Alan, so what you're saying is you would like a modification of our recommendation?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So,
This isn't redacted.
Can we go to Margie?
We
got to go to lunch.
Yeah, let's pause this for 1 second because I feel like there's some like informal conversation needs to happen before we actually, as a group, talk about that. Margie.
Alan raised the question that I had, and we've been talking about it, but I don't know that we actually have a recommendation that says that consent can be sought to have the fields published, and that I don't know that. We have that anywhere, and in fact, we have the opposite, saying that the email must not be published. So that's one point.
Yeah.
And the second point is with regard to looking at this pseudonymized email and form.
Yeah.
Can we also throw in evaluation of role-based emails, because that's also kind of a pseudonymization thing? Role-based emails as being explored as to whether there should be recommendations related to that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Let's go over to Marika quickly, or maybe Marika needs a little more time.
Could I make a comment? While they're generating wish lists of things they would like to have explored, you're kind of assuming that we agree that these are things we need to have explored. I don't. I don't think most of these are not problems, and we would oppose any kind of mandate or recommendations that assume they are problems that need to be solved, just to make that clear.
What would you be comfortable naming is something to be explored, given the concerns you've heard from a variety of folks around the table?
I haven't heard what is the concern? The concern is that the email is redacted and they can't see it. That's the concern.
No, I perhaps folks could reiterate. I'll do my best to what I've heard. What I've heard is that because there's these walls between, you don't get automated bounce backs. There's challenges in figuring out if stuff has been delivered. Those are the concerns that have been expressed.
And that's too bad. Sorry. But that's a price you pay for having protected information. There are many other ways that they can eventually contact, for example, through legitimate access for third parties disclosure. There's all kinds of things that can be happening, but it's not a who is problem. I don't see that as a who is problem at all. I see that as a feature, not a bug.
So just one more round on this, Milton, though. If the request is to explore how to solve some of the challenges of that contacting, while you're being extremely explicit, we're not talking about redaction or those, you know, whether you redact or not redact the email, does that still change? Does that still, you know, raise the concern?
It's really amazing that you are so solicitous of certain opinions and so disregarding of others. So from the privacy advocate standpoint, there is no problem here. There is no problem. This is a feature, not a bug. They cannot get the email address. They cannot – how do you bounce back a non-delivery message without saying, oh, this was not delivered to the following domain? You're revealing information about who the intended recipient was. There are other mechanisms that can be used, including
a disclosure process in which they can get that information, but for the public who is, this is fine. It's not a problem at all from our point of view. So we just want to make that clear. We don't want this whole thing to be framed as some problem that has to be solved. We don't think it's a problem.
Okay. Given that, the reason I've been doing a little back and forth is that one of the pathways forward that felt like a pathway you could all live with was to leave the temp spec as it is and make a recommendation to say, GNSO, explore some of these issues about how to use logs, how to use web forms, and make that work to address concerns, right? And that was a pathway forward. So if you all are saying, I don't want to have a recommendation to explore how to address these issues, then we don't have a consensus position. Okay. Yeah, great. Marika, you want to...
Yeah, this is Marika. I just wanted to make one point on the consent or whether a registrant can indicate or must or may provide consent to publish more information. There's actually section 7.2.1 in the temporary spec that says a registrar must provide, as soon as commercially reasonable, the registrar must provide the opportunity for the registered name holder to provide its consent to publish the additional conduct information outlined in section 2.3. But having said that, 2.3 only refers at the moment to registrant data. So if the group would want to have that applied broader, that's, of course, up to you then to make that assessment. And one point to note as well that, of course, email address is not redacted as such. It's obfuscated. So you may need to rephrase it in such a way if you would want the registrant to publish its email address at that, and not the obfuscated one, but that would be an option as well. And I think, oh, Matt, did I get that right?
Yeah, it's Matt. So interestingly enough, in section 2.3 and then 2.4, it excludes email address as a field to allow them to opt into. So the way that I read it right now, they couldn't opt in to publish their real email address.
Right. So, yeah. So folks, yeah. So let's take Diane. And then let's see where we are and break for lunch because we're at lunchtime now.
So Matt, do you think that it would be practical then and efficient? Do you think it would be practical and efficient then at the time that you're rolling out the notification about the updated terms and conditions in relation to organizational field that it would be a ripe opportunity at that same time to be able to rectify that situation?
Yeah, theoretically. I mean, I do think there absolutely should be a valid way for people to opt in to publishing, and I would have sworn that it was in the temp spec, but it specifically is not in the temp spec.
Yeah.
So folks, why don't we take a break on this? What if we took 15 minutes? Let's take 20 minutes to make it a proper break. 20 minutes, there's food to grab in there. Take a walk, get some fresh air, whatever you want to do. And then we're going to come back. We're going to name where we are in these issues, and then we're going to specifically make time for a couple issues. We'll have the lawyer in the room and some other stuff. So let's take 20 minutes, and we'll come back.
David, can we...
right after lunch.
And we talked about print transition. Transition. Okay, great. And then also, when we come back, we're going to run and check out, and then can we, in one of those back rooms or maybe in behind the screen, start stacking luggage or something like that? All right.